So welcome everyone to another session of Presenting Our Presence, a vodcast that's released on the full moon and celebrating the contributions of Indigenous peoples who work at the University of Alberta. Today we welcome Corinne Riddell, and Corinne will tell me I've said the last name wrong because of the history I have with the name. My name is Florence Glanfield. I'm Vice Provost Indigenous Programming and Research. And I am going to turn it over to the co-host for today's session to introduce himself before we invite Corinne to introduce herself in the way that she so desires.
Well, thank you for the introduction, Florence. And Corinne, I'm very excited for our conversation today and to get to understand what your journey has been like. I'm excited to hear about what about your journey has brought you here and how you're able to share that with other learners, with people on campus, and even what this looks like looking forward. So very, very thrilled to be involved in this discussion and another POP episode, Masi Chok.
Thanks so much, Kyle. And Corinne, I invite you to introduce yourself in whatever way, in using, you know, your words. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Florence. Thanks, Kyle. Tanse, Corinne Riddell Pinnock, Wabmahikan Esquayo, Nitsigasong. I'm Métis with family ties along the rivers of North and South Saskatchewan rivers from Ontario to Vancouver Island. And I have ties to Enoch Cree Nation. And then here, of course, in Amiskwotsi, Waskaigan, Treaty 6. My parents are Stan and Glenda Riddell. They reside in Lloydminster, Saskatchewan. On my mother's side, my late grandmothers were Nehiyaw Esquewap. They were mothers, wives, sisters, aunties. I'm an auntie to Joshua, Olivia, and Emma, and to all my friends' children. I am, and also to my husband's siblings' children. And to the younger university students here on campus. So that's how it's interesting, you know, when we even introduce ourselves, because I feel like our introductions change continually as according to kind of the context of like who we're visiting and where we are kind of like in our journey and in our day even. So thank you so much for having me. I've been actually really excited. Sometimes I get really nervous for these kind of things, but I've been more excited than anything. So thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Corinne. And thank you for that really descriptive introduction to yourself about land and place. Now, you mentioned in, you know, preparing for this conversation that you wanted to talk about your journey. So I wonder if we could start there. And, you know, how is it that you have come to see yourself as an auntie? And you've named kin and non-kin relationships. So family relations, non-family relationships. So maybe you could start with the journey. Thank you.
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, okay. I'm thinking already it's so interwoven. It's like, where do I start? Somewhere in the middle? Well, my journey here at the university actually started as a student. In 2013, I had been working in fashion marketing, and I was really enjoying it. I got to do a lot of other things aside from just making things look good so that people purchase clothing. I also got to do some fun things like prop building and decor, and I really like that because I've always been a crafts person, and so that kind of first career brought me to an end, I guess you could say, not only because of what was happening in the market, but also because of what was happening in me. You know, I felt like I wasn't really challenged anymore. I think that I really needed to engage my intellect in different ways and just explore something completely different. And I had thought, like, you know, maybe college or university, you know, again, would be a place to start. And so when I was looking around to see where I could kind of start that exploration, because I didn't know what I wanted to study or if I was going to study, but I didn't know where I was going to go. And honestly, like, U of A wasn't my first thought. But that had more to do with my, I think, my level of confidence at that time. I thought, like, oh, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't smart enough for university. I wasn't prepared for university. How was I going to have the money to attend university? No one else in my family had ever been to university. What do I do? Where do I start? You know, kind of thing. And then I thought, you know, I wonder, like, it was that also aligned with a time when I really was getting curious about my Métis ancestry. You know, not growing up in my culture, not having a mom or a grandmother who identified as a Métis or Indigenous person at all, and thinking, how could I maybe enter into this area of my life in that way? How can I explore maybe, you know, who I come from? At that time, I didn't have that kind of language, right? To even express, like, who I come from. But, you know, to really look into where my roots began. And that led me to actually come to check out, I was interested in the industrial design program because the University of Alberta has a really amazing design program. You know, because I had already done a design diploma at Grant MacEwan College. But where that led me to actually was, it was Frida Cardinal, who at that time was Indigenous recruitment. I don't know that she was specific to the Faculty of Arts or anything, because I don't recall, but she actually, you know, had this really great conversation with me. And it was just a very comfortable, safe space to be able to say, like, I don't know anything about my Métis family. I don't, like, what can I do? Like, where do I start? You know, kind of thing. And she had she had so many good things to say, and just her energy was so, you know, again, like, comfortable and safe. And I was able to say, or she was able to say, maybe you could try going into starting out in arts, and we have a transition year program. So the transition year program being like a general studies for Indigenous students and an entryway, you know, and an opportunity for a foundational year of study, and then going into the faculty that you choose. To me, that was very exciting, but also really scary because I didn't know what to expect at all. But it became, like, pretty clear in my first year that I wanted to do an English degree. And I always loved literature and writing and words. I really had an interest in language in general. And so that's how I started out. So that's kind of like a long way of me saying how I got here. But then once I was here, not only the coursework, but the community is how I really started to see where I'm from and who I'm from, and really, I guess, teach me where I belong, which is here, which is everywhere. And I think that was just a very grounding teaching to understand and to embody. And after that, I was able to proceed, you know, with my studies and volunteer and work part-time at the university until I finished my degree in 2018. So I did that major in English and a minor in creative writing. And so that's where that formal study ended. And that was only a few years ago.
I'd love to just follow up on one aspect of the story that you told, Corinne, because sure. I think it would be so helpful. How did you come to learn that you had Métis ancestry? I think you said you grew up not hearing it from your family. So how did you come to learn about that? What's that story you tell about coming to know?
Well, I mean, I knew because it had been mentioned, right? I knew it because it had been mentioned by my mom and my aunties, right? Her sisters. But that was it. I didn't have any other knowing beyond that. So it was really, you know, through literature, right? So one of the most wonderful things is that the University of Alberta has so many courses with Indigenous content, specifically in English and creative writing. So I really truly maxed out on my coursework. Maxed out and lucked out, I think I could say, with amazing Indigenous instructors who had content to share, like in all types of literature, whether it was an English course, a creative writing course, like, or specifically poetry, which I love, and am a writer of poetry as well. But also in Native studies, some of the Native studies courses, at the time, Tracy Bear, who's now Savage Bear, was teaching some good courses there. Marilyn Demont. I don't want to do a whole bunch of name dropping necessarily. It's been such a pleasure though to be able to work and study with some of these awesome writers and researchers, and they kind of, you know, they have their journeys, so they kind of, you know, like come and go as well, right? And move on to other spaces and places. So back to your original question, Florence, I think that through those literatures and through my experiences in community here on campus, that is what has taught me more than anything who I am and who I come from, and that I belong with these communities, I belong with these teachings, with these learners, with these cousins, you know, with these cousins and these nieces and nephews. Like yourself.
Well, this is really interesting, Corinne, right? Because you did hear about it from family stories, but then there's also this shaping of as you you know, traveling your path and making sense of who you are is this opportunity through this formal education then to better understand and negotiate what does it mean if you identify as Métis. So even if the stories carry through from family, then what does it mean if you identify as Métis? And I think this is a journey that many of our relatives and our kin are on, is understanding. So there have been silence narratives in the past for a variety of reasons, and around the dispossession of Indigenous identity and humans and relationships with land. And so now, as we come to understand ourselves individually, as well as part of the collective history, then how is it that we come to identify, and how do we learn about what does it mean to identify as, in your case, Métis?
Absolutely. And I was, you know, and I had, it's those ways of knowing, you know, that our elders and cousins and friends and aunties and uncles talk about, that that solidify, you know, that we are where we're supposed to be. And that, you know, has happened to me both in just reading and like embodying certain literatures. Like, I remember in my first year, I was sitting and reading a poem by Connie Fife, who, if I recall correctly, was from Saskatchewan. And the way that she described our spirit and the way that we connect to one another and ourselves, just it's one of those experiences that just sort of sends that kind of like lightning through your whole core. So, you know, some people say core shaker. And just it I'll never forget that, because it was one of the first most powerful moments for me to recognize that spiritual connection was there. And it was it's that spiritual connection that I had been seeking. And so with that, it was even deeper than just literature and just good people and just good Stu and Bannock. And just, you know, it was everything that comes with everything that we do and everything that we study and who we are. And we just, everything, it just makes sense, you know. And it wasn't even something that had to be like overthought, because it was something that was felt. And then everything that comes after and goes with it, you know, like all the visiting, all the studying, all of our kinship ties, you know, that and kinship, and all of our friends that and family that we meet along the way, it just all makes sense. It's all very familiar, you know. That word family and familiar is exactly how I can think to describe it. That familiarity, you know, seeing someone from across the room that you've never seen before, met before, but you're at a round dance or even just a lunch, you know, like free lunch on campus, right? And go and be with your community, and there's somebody there, it's like, oh, she looks like my auntie Donna, or like, oh wow, like she looks so much like my grandma when I saw pictures of her when she was younger. And just that connection, you know, that's just one small connective tissue.
I'm going to make a comment as I listen to you and then invite Kyle to jump in with any observations. So it feels to me, as you were sharing this, Corinne, that it is this, the long-held, the stories that you had and heard as a young person in your family, and then the studying, and it's also the walking alongside and participating in community. So there isn't just the family stories. There is this also, and what you were learning as in this coursework, but it was also what actions are you taking as a human to figure this out, and by participating. That's what I'm interpreting from what you've just said. And now I'm going to invite Kyle to jump in with his observations and wonders.
Oh, and I do have wonders. Thank you so much, Florence. And thank you, Corinne, for sharing your journey so far. You know, in doing a little bit of pre-work, I hadn't realized that you had been on campus, that you have a decade of campus community connections. And so just drawing on that and you know, the various different positions and works that you've held with the UAlberta, I'm thinking the inaugural position with as an Indigenous Engagement Student Specialist, which was the first time that that role had been not only created but held. And so I'm curious about what that role meant in fostering community, and now your current role as a SILR project assistant, and considering your commitment to campus, potential future roles. So what does this mean for you, right? That your ability, your capacity, your involvement in campus has been like a needle moving back and forth through the canvas. And the role itself isn't dependent. You've just been consistently involved. So tell me about fostering campus community connections through these different experiences.
Yeah, sure. Even like beginning with a little like a mentorship project that at the time Lori Myers, previously Lori Myers, now Lori Ireland, did create in Faculty of Arts, which was you know, that there were mentors and mentees like put in place to be able to create that kind of that support system, right? So it didn't just all fall on like one or two or three people, right? But that we're all taking care of one another. So to me, right away, that made a lot of sense. And I think that it was, you know, I think in part it made a lot of sense because I was already 37 years old, like, you know, like nearly middle age coming to campus and being like, yeah, I want to be that. I want to, you know, I'm told I'm a nurturer, I'm a healer. I know that I have those, you know, passions and I want to share those gifts, right? Just like we're supposed to, just like we're asked to. And, so yeah, anything from so that peer mentorship program was really great. And then actually all throughout, so I said that I was a transition year program student, like that's of course that first year, and then as a second year art student, I was asked to be the instructor's assistant for English and writing studies courses in my second, third. I'm trying to recall if I did. I know I did at least 3 years. I might have done it 3.5. I think because then I think that's when Florence hired me to work under one of her projects in Indigenous language teacher development projects. And so that was sort of like, some of the things that I mentioned that I did, like those were kind of, I feel like the important ones, already having those community connections actually put me in the exact place and gave me the exact sort of, I suppose, skills, where I needed to be in order to, I think, even be hired at the university in a full-time capacity, to be an advisor, to be which then I deemed as being an anti-advisor or advisor anti. And just have continued on in that realm. And then things kind of shifted again. Of course, we know the pandemic did some kind of nutty things, but also some interesting things to kind of help us change, maybe not even help us, but make us, you know, change our paths. And I went from being Indigenous engagement student specialist for a couple of years to then there being more grant funded opportunities for Indigenous language revitalization. And that's how SILR and HOLE, so SILR being supporting Indigenous language revitalization, and the HOLE project being weaving holistic learning experiences and program and culture. Very long acronyms as the university has. And just always, always being that, I guess, that anti-advisor, and that support system, and being that connector, that sort of like person, that go-to person for students has been like such a privilege and an honor, I guess, more than even a privilege. And I just really appreciate that I've been able to remain in that kind of spot, because being an auntie is awesome.
Now, this brings me to a really special question, and take as long as you need to think about the answers. It's a kind of surprise question here. But we hear this across campus, right? That there are aunties in different departments. There's the ATEP aunties, the ones that'll take care of you over here. There's you, and I'm just curious, and perhaps the listeners might be too. I want to know about the ethics of auntiehood. What does it mean to be a UAlberta auntie? Is it, because it's different than your home community, but it's still supportive here. And I'm just so curious what that has meant for you.
Yeah, it means actually, you know, it's taught me a lot of things, because you can't. I mean, one of the ways to learn to be, I suppose, a good auntie or a present auntie, is to also know what it's like to be a niece and need your auntie. You know, need your aunties, and that aunties need to be everywhere. Really, you know, not just at home, but also, you know, we spend a lot of time at work, right? So wherever we work, I would hope, or wherever we share time together, there should be aunties. And I think that there's just that level of respect that should exist, you know, like, I feel it's so funny. It's like, you know, I don't even believe that I'm 47 years old. I still feel like I'm like 25, but I sort of like just recently embraced the fact that I am older and that I can impart some kind of wisdom on it. I'm very like very open to share my advice if somebody wants it, or my opinion, which people always remind, you know, you as the lowest form of knowledge or whatever the saying is. But being an auntie just means just being there, also, and just listening. I think that because I was a student so recently, you know, from 2013 to 2018, that it's very fresh in my mind, the anxieties that I had as a student, or the many questions that I had as a student that were so often getting in the way of me being able to focus on my studies. So I very much appreciated any time any auntie and uncle, like I, you know, any auntie was available to reassure me. And my mom always said, you know, as a kid, I always needed a lot of extra reassurance. Those are her words. And so I thought, okay, if that was me, then I think that there are probably a lot of students also in that position. you know, even though I came here as an adult with more confidence in ways than maybe like a 20-year-old young woman would, I think that if we can be there for the students and listen to them and reassure them in ways that matter, they might seem like small ways, but they're actually really big ways, because we're human beings first, right? We have spirits, and those spirits need to be nourished, and they also need to be calmed down, right? And so aunties just have that grounding way of being with us, and I think that just that little bit of aunteism can help a student feel like they are where they're supposed to be, because, you know, like you were kind of asking about earlier, Florence, and, you know, and or kind of, you know, when we were talking about this journey of knowing that you have, you know, Cree ancestors like I do, right? Cree grandmothers, knowing that they're still there. They're not here in body, but they are in spirit. Knowing that they're still there and being here at the university in a place where we have this wonderful community where we can engage our intellect and our spirit, you know, and we can do that. We do that all together, right? So knowing that we can engage in that way and share what we know, and reminds us as well as reminding them that they should be here how they want to be, and if they have a journey similar to mine, wonderful. And like, it's gonna look very different for everybody. I think that my journey here has been very unique. I think that it's very important to be giving with that journey that I've had, because so many of our students are in a space of reclaiming who they come from, right? Or reimagining or remembering, right? I love that word, remember, right? Member and remembering. We're remembering our spirits, remembering ourselves back into who we come from. That's huge. And that has given me the most grounded feeling, giving me the most grounded place I've ever been. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Corinne. That as you were talking about this, I was also thinking that there are different types of aunties that step in different types of ways. And just thinking about aunties in my family and the impact that they have had on my living and life. And so thank you for that. And thank you for describing how you see your journey unfolding and working alongside colleagues and students at the University of Alberta. I know that we're close to coming to the end of our time together. We usually try and book. And so I'm wondering if there was any final words that you wish to say to the audience before we wrap up this session. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Florence. There is, and I think that if there's one overarching thing to say or to encourage, it's to encourage the students to find their community. It doesn't have to be on campus, but I think that I know that because I've experienced it, like being on campus with the many communities that do exist here, that will support, beyond anything or anyone else, their experience here. And we can't do it alone. We shouldn't think that we can. That's the hugest lie that we've been told, is, you know, individualism. There are so many things that we naturally do have to always do kind of on our own, that we need people. We need people. Even if you're an introvert, my husband's an introvert. So I'm gaining more and more understanding about who he is. And we really need each other. And if anybody, you know, wants to have those, I suppose, like those identity seeking conversations with me, I'm so happy to do that. I think that so much can come from us understanding who and where we come from, knowing that we belong where we are, and knowing that we don't have to always be confident, we don't always have to be successful, but we do have to have each other to rely on so that we can learn from each other, and so that we can be shown our gifts, because we are reminded that those gifts are also our obligations to share. And we need that. We need those sharings.
Well, thank you so much, Corinne. Really appreciated the conversation today. And I'll turn it over to Kyle to just say final words of gratitude. Thank you.
Let's see. Again, wonderful to join in these conversations. I always come away learning something else, and learning about and feeling further connected to the various communities that emerge here. And you're right, it's so important, right? I'm learning from this discussion that what it means to be present, you know, I'm not an auntie, but I've sure benefited from the advocacy of aunties. And like you're saying, there Florence is that there's many different types of aunties, and as you're saying, Corinne, how you show up, and it has me thinking, you know, there are the ones that, as you're saying, are grounding and helping people to feel like as you had phrased, Corinne, to show up however they feel is appropriate, and what an important reminder that is. And I remember drawing on my own family's aunties how fierce advocates aunties can truly be. And so, yeah, just I'm coming away with a deeper appreciation of that, and of folks like you both, and where you've had to stand in and advocate for others, and just how important that is. So with that, if we are to close the episode of Pop, I just want to say Masi Cho, welcome to another full moon, and we're excited to join you at the next one. So thank you, Corinne, thank you, Florence, and thank you to
everyone. Thank you so much. So awesome. Thanks.